The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, 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 golden.
Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher. Welcome back to another week of NFL coverage here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. 10 weeks of the NFL season are in the books, and unfortunately, there were no Oakland Raiders this weekend. That's right, no Oakland Raiders coverage here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast.
Psych!
We're going to go ahead and get into their primetime matchup against the Patriots down in Mexico City. But first, we're going to go ahead and review every single game that we won you some money on right here on the Bay's Golden Days in Week 10 of the NFL before moving ahead to look forward to every single matchup from Week 11 of the NFL season in our weekly betting segment, Straight Cash, homie. So let's go ahead. Let's not waste no more time. Let's go ahead and take a look around the league and see what happened in the NFL Week 10 in 60 seconds.
It's Sunday in 60 seconds, week 10. Welcome back, Teddy. Let's leap right in. Maurice Harris goes from the practice squad to making the catch of the year. Big Ben leads a big rally, and how cute, the Steelers took a family photo. Six rushing touchdowns for the Saints, who get their seventh win in a row. The Packers get their first win without A-Rod.
That was an Aaron Rodgers-like throw there by Hundley.
Xavier Woods tip drill.
How about that play by Xavier Woods?
And Josh Lambeau drills the game winner, even though it was tipped. Golden Tate hits the boost and then salutes the troops. DeMarco Murray squeezes in for the win. Fitzmagic gets revenge against the Jets. Robert Woods runs wild.
Robert Woods, he is gone. Touchdown Rams, 94 yards.
The Niners get their first win, and the Patriots leave Denver with another W.
Lewis still on his feet, and he will be not tackled, and if he stays in bounds, and he does, it is a touchdown.
That's the timer. Bye-bye. See you next week.
10 weeks of the NFL season gone, just like that. Time has been flying by, and man, oh man, what a season we have been having in the NFL so far. I've talked about it all season long here on the podcast. The parity that makes up the week-to-week matchups in the NFL have been ridiculous this season. Once again, the Raiders were on bye, but because of all the losing this week, there are still only one game out of that last wild card spot. So let's go ahead and start off with the AFC West, as we always do. After we finish up talking about the Raiders, we'll go ahead and jump into this Patriots-Broncos matchup. Tom Brady facing his kryptonite, the Denver Broncos. Once again, Superman comes out on top as Tom Brady gets it done and gets the win 41-16. We won you some money right off the back here on Bay's Golden Days because I told you to take the Patriots and the 7.5-point spread. This no-fly zone, as I mentioned last week, had just been giving up free flyer miles left and right, and Tom Brady threw for 266 yards, three touchdowns. He's number one in the NFL in passing yards. He's now number one in NFL history and most road wins ever after accumulating his 86th win this weekend against the Broncos. Him and Gronk were hitting. Him and Cooks were hitting. The Patriots just literally could not be stopped, and the Broncos are now on a five-game losing streak, and they are falling and falling. But hey, like I said, Raiders keep on moving up and up, even though they didn't even play this week because of their bye. Now sitting in second place in that AFC West. Let's go ahead and talk about the rest of the AFC West because we'll get into the Patriots plenty later on as we preview the Raiders versus Patriots down in Mexico. But we had a game going down in Jacksonville between the Chargers and the Jaguars that was back and forth the whole entire game, and we lost you some money here on the Bay's Golden Days because we picked the Jacksonville Jaguars to win by 4 points, but they only won by three. So unless you took a tease and unless you got some better betting odds than me, you might have a better bookie than me who give you a 3-point point spread, so you got the push. But the Jaguars got the win by three, and this was a crazy game that ended up going into overtime. A.J. Boye had a big 51-yard pick in overtime to set up the field goal by Josh Lambeau. Gets his revenge against his old team, the San Diego Chargers, that cut him. They moved to L.A. and left him back in San Diego. Well, Lambeau got his revenge because he kicks the game-winning field goal. It gets blocked, but it still goes in somehow, some way, and the Jaguars improved to 6-3 in the AFC South as the Chargers fall to 3-6, and that AFC South is now heating up because the Jaguars sitting at 6-3. We've got the Titans on a 4-game winning streak as they beat the Bengals 24-20 and become 6-3 as well in that AFC South. And let's look how they did it. Marcus Mariota only needed one touchdown, and it was at the end of the game as he checked down to DeMarco Murray to get in for that game-winning touchdown. DeMarco also had a touchdown on the ground rushing, but it was Derrick Henry who was leading the backfield with 11 carries, 52 yards. Marcus Mariota was getting it done through the air and with his feet, and it was easier for this exotic smash mouth run offense once Vontaze Burfict was ejected from the game for pushing the ref. God, I've already seen Conor McGregor this past week and go after a ref in MMA. Now we got Burfict pushing refs all the fights. Why is MMA constantly leaking into the NFL world? I don't know, but I don't mind at all. And I'm sure the Titans don't mind because it made the game a lot easier. And as I said, they got the push, winning by 4 points over the Bengals this weekend. We'll go ahead and move on as we had another matchup between the AFC South and the AFC North. The Pittsburgh Steelers got the job done over the Indianapolis Colts 20-17, but did not cover that 10-point spread. So once again, I picked the winner, but did not pick the point spread. But don't worry, we got good news coming because we got winners all through the board after we get through these few couple losses. The Steelers got the job done with Big Ben Roethlisberger throwing for 236 yards, 2 touchdowns, did have 1 interception, but him and Juju Smith-Schuster connected for a touchdown after connecting 5 times for 97 yards and a touchdown. Le'Veon Bell had 26 carries for 80 yards. He's now the number one rusher in the NFL, and it was great to see Le'Veon Bell and Juju Smith-Schuster really just enjoying themselves out there because, as I mentioned, they're the two leading scorers for the Steelers this weekend, and they're the two leading actors in the mock fight of A.J. Green versus Jalen Ramsey. They got into a little fake scuffle just to point some fun over at A.J. Green, a division rival, and hey, at the end of the day, the Steelers laughed away all the way to another W. It wasn't pretty. It was against the Colts and Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby had a couple deep ball hair touchdowns, but hey, the Steelers got the job done, and a win is a win. We all know that, Raider fans. Just win, baby. The Steelers improved to 7-2, sitting in first place in the AFC North, even though they did not cover for us here on the Bay's Golden Days. But let's go ahead and move on to a team that has been covering all season long, and that is the Los Angeles Rams. Once again, beating the Texans 33-7, covering that big 12-point spread. I said this was a big point spread, but I'll still take the Rams, and they cover that point spread as Jared Goff has just been phenomenal, throwing for 355 yards and 3 touchdowns. I'm pretty sure he's the only quarterback ever for the Rams to throw for over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns with no interceptions. He was connecting with Robert Woods all day when they connected on a 96-yard touchdown. Robert Woods ended the day with 8 catches, 171 yards, 2 touchdowns. This is a man who's had 4 touchdowns in the last 2 games. Hell, he's never had more than 4 touchdowns in a season when he used to be on the Bills. I guess him and Sammy Watkins are liking to change the scenery because Sammy Watkins got into the end zone as well. Todd Gurley continues to tear it up as he leads the league in yards and total yards from scrimmage. He had 68 yards, and he leads the NFL in touchdowns too. This Ram offense is really looking unstoppable right now. They're on pace to put up as many points as The Greatest Show on Turf. Yes, if you don't remember The Greatest Show on Turf, that 2001 St. Louis Rams offense that put up 526 points. Yes, this same offense is on pace to put up 526 points as well. The Rams have been playing unbelievable this year. They have a tough couple games coming up down the stretch, but right now they are really looking like a playoff team, and they are dominating that NFC West. Let's go ahead and talk about the best team in the NFC West to the worst team in the NFC West that finally got their first win of the season, and you know who I'm talking about, those Santa Clara 1-9ers. Yes, they get to keep the name from going from the 0-9ers to the 1-9ers as they ended an 11-game losing streak. Congratulations, 49ers. You're no longer the best 0-9 football team. You're the best 1-9 football team, and this is great because this is the first win against a team that is not the Rams in over 708 days. That's over 2 years. You finally beat somebody besides the Rams. God damn. And if you even want to include the Rams, this is their first win on a Sunday since 2015. Yes, over 2 years because of that Thursday night football kickoff to start off the season. Last year was their last win. But, hey, got to give some credit. C.J. Beathard finally gets the job done. 288 yards, two touchdowns. Hit one big touchdown to Marcus Goodwin, whose only catch was the 83-yard touchdown. He was playing after he lost his infant son earlier that day. So, nothing but respect to Marcus Goodwin, track star out of Texas. It's good to see him find the end zone. Carlos Hyde had 17 carries, 98 yards. It was Matt Breida who actually busted the big one, the dagger at the end, to put the 49ers up by 10 and secure that first win of the season. And who called it? Me, right here on the Bay's Golden Days. I regrettably said the Niners are going to win, and I guess I don't have any regret because they did win, and when you won you some money here on the Bay's Golden Days, because, hey, I said, if they didn't win against the Giants, they weren't going to win all year. The Giants are now 1-8. This is Eli Manning's 100th career loss. They are truly pathetic. I don't know if Niner fans should be happy or sad because now they just lost a tiebreaker with the Giants for the number one overall pick. So they went from number one to at least number three now because they lose that tiebreaker. The Browns are still winless, but we'll get to them later. At the end of the day, I guess the Niner fans have something to cheer about. Jimmy Garoppolo should be starting next week. Times are looking up and we are trending in the right direction. Hey, I guess that's why we're called the Bay's Golden Days, because we even got a little love for the Santa Clara 1-9ers getting their first win of the year and winning you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days. That's what I'm talking about. But let's go ahead and move on and finish up that NFC West. On Thursday Night Football, we had a matchup between the Seahawks and the Cardinals, and the Cardinals continue to struggle without Carson Palmer. They got absolutely demolished on offense. They couldn't move the ball at all. Adrian Peterson was bottled up for 21 carries, 29 yards, and he was the leading rusher in this game. Yes, the Seahawks can't run the ball at all. We all know the story with their offensive line. It has just been terrible, but Russell Wilson once again has found a way to get the job done. He ended the day with 238 yards, two touchdowns, and get this, he has accounted for the last 1,095 yards out of the last 1,197 yards out of the last three games. He is responsible for 91.5% of that offense, and he just continues to get it done because he's literally running around like a chicken with his head cut off in the backfield. He was scrambling left and right, and then finds Doug Baldwin just standing on the sideline. He comes back, makes a Moss catch out of nowhere, gets tackled out of two. It sets up a Jimmy Graham touchdown. Jimmy Graham would end up finding the end zone twice in this game as the Seahawks just continue to find a way to win games, but hey, it was not all high news for the Seahawks because Richard Sherman is now done with the Seahawks after rupturing his Achilles heel. Terrible story to heal. This guy has been so consistent, so good, and one of the best corners, and that's going to be huge. Even the lingering effects, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays off for Richard Sherman and the rest of his career, but we hope a speedy recovery to Richard Sherman and the Seahawks. But they ended up getting the win and winning you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days because they did cover the -6 point spread. So what I say, the money is just going to start pouring in here on the Bay's Golden Days because we got another win by picking the Packers in the upset as we jump from one division game to another. The Packers got the job done over the Bears 23-16. This was a game that the Packers were underdogs by 5 points. Yes, you heard me right. The Bears were favored over the Packers for the first time in over 10 years. We all know because Aaron Rodgers wasn't playing, but Brent Hundley was doing his best Aaron Rodgers impersonation as he threw for 212 yards, a touchdown, and that one touchdown was the game-winning touchdown to Davante Adams, who ended with 5 catches, 90 yards, and a touchdown. Hey, it wasn't pretty, but they got the job done as the Bears lightweight screwed themselves out of this game. They were in control early. They thought they had a touchdown before the half. They challenged to see if they got a touchdown that they said they were called out of bounds. That challenge actually gets turned against them in their own favor because the ball was coming out before it hit the pylon. It's a fumble, it's a turnover, it's a touchback, and the Bears go from potentially having a touchdown to a turnover and a touchback. I'm sure that's a rule that's going to change sooner or later in the NFL because I don't know how you can reward a team for something so stupid as that. When the ball hits the pylon, it should be a touchdown, but the Bears kind of screwed themselves there, and the Packers will say, hey, we'll take that win because it's our first win since the Aaron Rodgers injury. They won you some money here on the Bay's Golden Day, so we'll take it too, and we'll keep on moving out to the Browns and the Lions as we continue with that NFC North. The Lions got the job done by covering the 12-point spread here on the Bay's Golden Days and winning you some money, 38-24 over the Browns. This was a game, though, that the Browns actually went up 10-0. It was close at halftime, but what do you know? At halftime, they tried to QB sneak it in with only 10 seconds left, 2 yards out. Kaiser gets tackled. They can't get into the end zone.
everybody's falling apart. The sky is falling, and the Browns do what the Browns do, and they fall to 0-9 on the year. They are the last winless team, but hey, now they're in line for that number one overall pick. You know you're not getting to the playoffs. Might as well just keep losing now. The Lions turned it around and got back to 5-4. They're trying to scratch and crawl, try to get back up in that NFC, try to get a wild card team, because the Vikings are playing phenomenal, and they're the next team we'll talk about as they took on the Redskins and really did put a beating on them. The score ended at 38-30, but the Redskins did score a lot of points, kind of garbage time with Kirk Cousins throwing for 327 yards and a touchdown, but it was Case Keenum with 304 yards and four touchdowns. Did have two interceptions that made it closer than it should have been, but four touchdowns from Case Keenum, that's a career high. Teddy Bridgewater did return and suit up this weekend. It was a great emotional scene for him, but he did not play. I never thought I'd hear a QB controversy between Case Keenum and Teddy Bridgewater. Wow, but it doesn't matter who's throwing to Adam Thielen, because he continues to just catch balls, whoever's playing quarterback for him, as he had eight catches, 166 yards, and a touchdown, and he was straight leapfrogging all over the Redskins' D. It was unstoppable, and the Vikings really did look unstoppable. Their defense is playing great, and they got the job done 38-30, covering that 1.5-point spread and winning you some money right here on the Base Golden Days. Next, we're going to go to a game that we actually lost some money on, and I want to put a little asterisk next to this game, because when this podcast came out, Ezekiel Elliott was not suspended. He was suspended, not suspended. So who even knows how to pick a Cowboys game? I don't know if I could pick them until like the day before, but I did take the Cowboys to win +3 for the upset. But unfortunately, Zeke Elliott was suspended, and that honestly didn't even look like it was the biggest factor for these Cowboys. Tyron Smith, their all-world left tackle, is one of the best linemen in the game. He was hurt and did not play, and that seemed like it was more of an effect than anything, because they were absolutely getting torn up by Adrian Claiborne. Claiborne had 6 sacks in this game. Yes, count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 sacks in this game. He's only had like 6 sacks in a whole season in his career, I think once or twice. The man hit a $750,000 incentive bonus in his contract for getting 8 sacks this season. Well, yeah, he got 6 in one game and absolutely tore up this offensive line. Dak Prescott really did look to struggle without a run game and without his left tackle. Only threw for 176 yards. Did get stripped by Adrian Claiborne as well. Jason Witten was the leading receiver. 7 catches, 59 yards. He couldn't get Dez Bryant involved too often. And this Cowboys defense that had been playing well over the past couple weeks really did struggle without Sean Lee. I've made the comparison a bunch of times between Sean Lee and Luke Kuechly, how important they are to their defenses. When they don't play, their defenses are a whole different defense, just to be straight up and honest. But without Sean Lee, they got dusted. The Cowboys just want to erase this film tape and never watch it again. With no Zeke, no Tyron Smith, no Sean Lee, you can say those are a bunch of excuses, but those are three of the best players on the Cowboys team, and it showed this weekend against the Falcons, as Matt Ryan is the fastest quarterback ever to 40,000 yards after throwing 215 and 2 touchdowns. Taylor Gabriel was getting involved. Julio Jones was getting involved a little bit. But honestly, the Cowboys' only points in his game came off of an Atlanta turnover when Matt Ryan tried to convert with Julio Jones. It was tipped up and picked, and that was the only time they were able to get into the end zone. The Cowboys are starting to sputter a little bit without Ezekiel Elliott, but if they get Tyron Smith back, they got to figure out something with this offensive line and run the ball. I still think they got a chance to potentially make the playoffs, but we'll see with this whole Zeke saga. No one knows how it's going to really turn out, but the Falcons trying to get back alive in the NFC South by improving to 5-4, but it's going to be tough to chase down those New Orleans Saints. The Saints now have won 7 straight games. Yes, 7 in a row to improve to 7-2 after losing their first 2 games of the year, and they absolutely demolished the Bills, 47-10, and this was the Bills team that was supposed to have a great defense. This was the Bills team that was supposed to be undefeated at home. This is a Bills team that just did absolutely not show up against the Saints this weekend, as they lost 47-10. So you can guarantee that by us taking the Saints, we won you some money. And they covered that 2.5-point spread as Drew Brees. Honestly, he doesn't even have to play like Drew Brees anymore. He's only threw for 184 yards, did have a rushing touchdown, but no passing touchdowns in a game that the Saints scored 47 points. You would have thought Drew Brees got injured. How do you not throw for a touchdown when you score 47 points? Well, I'll tell you how, because Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara are absolutely destroying people on the ground. Ingram ran 21 times for 131 yards, 3 touchdowns. Kamara, 100 yards and a touchdown. The Saints ran for nearly 300 yards and 6 touchdowns. They scored more rushing touchdowns in one game than 13 teams have scored all season. It was an absolute ass whooping. This Bills, like I said, they're undefeated at home. They've never let up 47 points before. They've never let up 6 rushing touchdowns. They got absolutely torched by Drew Brees and and the Saints, and the Saints are looking like one of the hottest teams in football right now, and they are sitting in first place in that NFC South division. But right there on their tails are the Carolina Panthers, who improved to 6-3 with a Monday night victory over the Dolphins, 45-14. This was an absolutely stomping. The Carolina Panthers put up a franchise record 548 yards of offense. Cam Newton had 254 yards passing, 4 passing touchdowns, 95 yards rushing. Jonathan Stewart ran for over 100 yards. McCaffrey was rushing. This was a team that couldn't run all season long, and all of a sudden they were just tearing up this Dolphins D. Dolphins, I've been saying it, you've been had 3 primetime games in a row, Thursday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. You lost all 3. Get the Dolphins the fook off my TV, and let's keep watching the Panthers, because I said they would cover that 9-point spread, and that's exactly what they did to win you some money here on the Bay's Golden Days. And the last game we'll talk about was probably the worst game of the week, to be honest. That's the Buccaneers and the Jets. The Buccaneers, I said, give me the plus 2.5 points because I can't bet on the Jets, and that's what they did to win you some money here on the Bay's Golden Days, because they won by 5 points. There was no Jameis Winston. There was no Mike Evans. There was no offense. I don't even want to talk about this game. The only thing that matters in this game is that we won you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days by picking these games in our weekly betting segment. Straight cash, homie. What is that? 10 out of 13 games, we won you some money. We had 1 push between the Bengals and the Titans, but only 3 losers, 10 winners. That's straight cash, homie, and that's what we're going to get into right now. Y'all know what time it is.
Straight cash, homie.
That's right. It's time for week 11 of Straight Cash, homie, here on the Bay's Golden Days, where we go ahead and look at every single up-and-coming matchup of the NFL 2017 season in week 11 by the point spread, and we'll go ahead and look at every single matchup before we get to our big breakdown of the Raiders-Patriots in Mexico, and we'll start off on Thursday Night Football. We got the Titans traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is going to be one hell of a game, probably one of the best Thursday night matchups we've got so far, because we actually got 2 potential playoff teams playing on Thursday Night Football. Bring out the color rush jerseys. Got the baby blues versus the all black. The Steelers are riding a 4-game winning streak at 7-2. The Titans are also riding a 4-game winning streak, sitting at 6-3. This game does have playoff implication. The Steelers are favored by 7 points. It's going to be a great matchup between these 2 potential playoff teams, where we got the Steelers, who will try to establish the run against this Tennessee Titans defense that has been playing above expectations. Marcus Mariota and the Titans themselves will try to establish that exotic run offense, with DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry trying to pound out the clock and keep the Steelers offense off the field as much as possible. I think this Pittsburgh Steelers offense is too much, though, with the return of Martavis Bryant. That just gives them one more weapon there, trying to get him involved. Last week, he ended the day with a touchdown, as well as Juju Smith-Schuster, and Antonio Brown didn't even find the end zone. I think he'll find the end zone Thursday night. I think Le'Veon Bell will have a big night. I think Ben Roethlisberger, as long as he doesn't turn the ball over, I think the Pittsburgh Steelers will cover this 7-point spread. So go ahead and give me the Steelers -7 on Thursday Night Football. Go ahead to Sunday now. We got a couple division games, starting off with the Lions and the Bears in the NFC North. The Detroit Lions are favored by 3 points, coming off a win over the Cleveland Browns last week. But hey, that's the Cleveland Browns. The Detroit Lions were hot to start the year, but are sitting at 5-4 record now. They will look to try to turn things around against Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears. I like the Lions in this game -3 in a division matchup. Usually these games are decided by a field goal, but Matthew Stafford, I think he gets back on track on the road. Unless the weather affects him too much, he is a lot better of a quarterback at home. But I still like Matthew Stafford to cover that 3-point spread and to beat the Bears. Moving on to the Ravens and Packers, this is probably the most toss-up game of the week. We saw the Packers win last week as an upset over the Bears, and the Ravens coming off a bye, 2 weeks to prepare. Well, they don't even got to prepare for Aaron Rodgers, because it's Brent Hundley. The Ravens are one of those teams that I always say can keep games close with John Harbaugh, a great coach. They don't have the most talent on their team, but with 2 weeks to prepare, I might have to stick with the Harbaughs and go with the Ravens -2 to win by a field goal against the Packers. I think Justin Turner has a big day, and he kicks the Ravens to a victory to cover that 2-point spread. Going on next to the Jaguars and the Browns. The Browns will be looking for their first win of the season, sitting at 0-9, while the Jaguars will try to scoop up an easy victory to set them up for a playoff run. They're sitting at 6-3, and they are 7.5-point favorites. They won last week, but didn't even really need to use Leonard Fournette all that much. It was a close one to the Chargers. I don't think it will be that close against the Browns this week. I look for Leonard Fournette to get back on track, and I look for the Jaguars to tear up the Browns, as long as it's not a close situation game and Blake Bortles is forced to throw somehow. I think the Jaguars' defense is good enough to get to Deshaun Kizer. They'll probably run through a couple quarterbacks this game as many times as they hit them. I look for a bunch of sacks from the Jaguars, and I look for them to easily cover that 7.5-point spread over the Browns in Cleveland. Next, we got the Cardinals and Texans, the matchup between the backup quarterbacks. We got the Cardinals without Carson Palmer and the Texans without Deshaun Watson. Man, this could have been a potential playoff matchup. Who knows? Maybe a Super Bowl matchup. Who knows now without the quarterbacks? Adrian Peterson will try to lead the run game while he's rivaled against Lamar Miller, and we'll see how it's going to end up with Jadeveon Clowney tearing up that offensive line. I think he has a big day, but I think Arizona might control the rock, might find the end zone more. We've seen the Texans do pretty much nothing without Deshaun Watson, and Tom Savage is not getting the job done, so I will take the Cardinals -1 on the road against the Texans. The Rams and the Vikings should be a hell of a matchup, a potential playoff matchup, as we have the Rams and the Vikings both sitting at 7-2 on the season, and the Vikings are favored by 2 points. As I mentioned earlier in the show, there might be a quarterback controversy between Case Keenum and Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater suited up last week, and he is ready to go. It will be interesting to see if he is unleashed. Latavius Murray, the Tay train, the ex-Raider, got it going on the ground. Him and McKinnon have been doing a great job keeping this Vikings offense afloat while this defense has been dominating games. But they'll have their first true test this weekend against the Rams, the number one offense in the league, the number one scoring offense in the league, the Rams team that is on pace to be the greatest show on turf. Wow, Jared Goff and Todd Gurley against his Vikings defense, Eric Kendricks and Anthony Barr in the middle. It's going to be one hell of a matchup. I think I might have to go with the Rams for the upset, just for the fact that I think it will be interesting back and forth. I don't think the Vikings are going to be able to run the ball on Aaron Donald. So for that, I think the Rams with Greg DeLeg, I think they'll get enough field goals to end up getting them to victory. Plus 2 points, I'll go ahead and take the Rams to beat the Vikings. Moving on to the Redskins and the Saints. We're talking about teams being hot. Let's go ahead and talk about the New Orleans Saints, who are basically top three in every offensive category now, sitting at 7-2 after winning 7 straight games. The Redskins on the other side sitting at 4-5 after losing in a couple. The Saints are favored by 7.5 points in this game. The way that Drew Brees has his offense going and going and going without him even throwing the ball. I saw some crazy stat that said the last time that he was thrown for this little amount of yards was when they went to the Super Bowl. So the better that they're able to run the ball and his defense is actually stepping up a little bit. Marshawn Lattimore, one of his great corners for the Saints. I think the Saints actually are a threat to a lot of people in the playoffs. I think they'll beat the Redskins. Josh Norman can talk all he wants, but Michael Thomas and the rest of these guys should have a big day as Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara continue to run the rock, and I will take the Saints -7.5. The Chiefs and the Giants are our next matchup, and we got one of our biggest point spreads of the day as the Chiefs are 10.5-point favorites on the road. Wow, New York Giants have just truly been disgraceful, and you guys obviously know because they lost to the San Francisco 1-9ers. Giants now sitting at 1-8. I heard some rumors Eli Manning could be traded maybe to the Broncos. The Broncos going to trade for another Manning brother. Who knows, because the Giants might have a top three pick and might be looking for a quarterback. I know that the Giants will lose this game, though. The Chiefs have a hard task covering that 10.5 spread, but the way that this defense has been giving up points, this Giants defense has given up more points this year already than it did all of last year. So I'll go ahead and take the Chiefs to get back on track and get a win over the Giants coming off a bye and covering that 10.5-point spread. Next up, we got the Buccaneers and the Dolphins. The Dolphins are favored by 1 point in Miami, but I've already said it. We've all seen the Dolphins primetime the last 3 weeks, and no one wants to watch the Dolphins again, and no one has faith picking the Dolphins, even though the Buccaneers don't have Jameis Winston. I picked them for the upset last week over the Jets, and they wanted some money here on the Bay's Golden Days, so I'm going to go ahead and stick with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for another upset. Give me the Bucs +1 point on the road. I don't care who's playing quarterback. At least Mike Evans will be back. Doug Martin was running the ball better last week than he was the week before. This offense should get things back on track, and as I've been saying all year, they got one of the best linebacker cores in the league. I think the Buccaneers pull off the upset on Sunday over the Dolphins +1 point. Next up, we got the Buffalo Bills traveling across country for the first time to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers, and the Chargers sitting at 3-6 are 4-point favorites over the 5-4 Bills. Wow, if the season ended today, the Bills would be the final team in the wild card spot because of a tiebreaker over with the Raiders. But wow, the Chargers are favored over them. That's something I've got my head scratched around. I would like to see the Chargers actually win, because that actually help out the Raiders in the playoffs. I can't believe I just said that. But if the Bills were to lose by the Chargers, then the Raiders, if somehow got a win this week against the Patriots in Mexico this weekend, we'll get more into that later, would bump up into that wild card spot. But I just don't see the Chargers doing it. They choked away the game last week against the Jaguars. The Bills should get back on track. Tyrod Taylor did have to leave the game early, but I think if he returns, I think the run game alone should be able to get the job done for the Bills. So I'll go ahead and give me the Bills plus 4 points. So even if they lose by a field goal, they still covered. Who knows with the Los Angeles Chargers? They're choking 1 week, playing well the next week. It's ridiculous. It's like a Hollywood story down there in LA, and I want no part of it. So we'll go ahead and keep on moving now with another team from the AFC West. The Broncos will be taking on the Bengals in Denver. The Broncos are favored by 2.5 points, as both these teams are sitting with a 3-6 record. This is a game I'm not really interested to watch at all. The Broncos got absolutely embarrassed by the Patriots on Sunday Night Football, and the Bengals have just been an absolutely disappointment this whole entire season. God, I don't really want to pick a team. Denver by 2.5. This defense, you think maybe can hold them. But the way that this defense just got torched last week, maybe Andy Dalton and Joe Mixon can do something. Yeah, why the hell not? Give me the Bengals plus 2.5 for an upset. If you can get that up to plus 3, then I think that's a great bet, because I think if anything, the Broncos will win by a field goal, but no more than that with Brock Osweiler playing quarterback. So go ahead and try to tease that up to a field goal and take the Bengals plus 3. Next up, we got the Eagles and the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, one of the matchups of the week, and it's Carson Wentz versus Dak Prescott on prime time. No Ezekiel Elliott unless somehow, some way, Jerry Jones drops another couple $1 million to get his suspension paused on hold, because he might need him back against the Eagles. If anything, they're just hoping for the return of Tyron Smith, because as we all saw last week, 6 sacks led up to just 1 guy from the Falcons. Well, they're playing against this Eagles team that's number one in rush defense, so they got to try to figure a way to get it done. If Tyron Smith's not there, they're not going to be able to run the ball too well with Alfred Morris. Didn't do really nothing. Darren McFadden only had 1 carry. Dak Prescott is going to have to beat the Eagles with his arm going downfield. We got to see Dez Bryant have a big day. Jason Witten, old reliable, I think he has a decent day. But this Eagles offense has just been unstoppable. And this Cowboys defense, if they're not getting to the quarterback with DeMarcus Lawrence, they're getting torched over the top, especially without Sean Lee. There's rumors that he might miss 2 to 3 weeks with that hamstring injury. If they don't got Sean Lee, I've mentioned it, it's like the Panthers without Luke Kuechly. It's a whole nother defense. So I'll go ahead and take the Eagles and Carson Wentz to stay hot, sitting with the 8-1 record, to improve to 9-1 to cover the 3.5 point spread on Sunday Night Football. It should be a shootout, and it should be one hell of a game. And that brings us to Monday Night Football, the Falcons and the Seahawks, where the Seahawks are favored by 3 points, sitting with a 6-3 record, while the Falcons creep back up to 5-4. And this is where I might be pulling out an upset alert on Monday Night Football, because the Falcons looked great against the Cowboys last week. Yeah, we all know the Cowboys defense was a little beat up, but so is the Seahawks. The Legion of Boom is looking like the Legion of Lost Limbs, because they lost another DB this weekend, and that man is Richard Sherman, going down with the ruptured Achilles heel. Then we got Earl Thomas, who's also injured, hasn't played the past couple weeks. If he's not playing, I think Matt Ryan and Julio Jones have a chance to tear up this Seahawks Legion of Lost Limbs. I can't even believe I'm saying it. The Legion of Boom, you'd think they'd be able to shut down anybody, but Matt Ryan is hot right now. Julio Jones is playing hot right now. They might not have Devontae Freeman, but Tevin Coleman has been stepping in the past couple years as a great RB2. I think the Falcons pull off the upset on Monday Night Football, plus 3 points over the Seahawks. Look for Vic Beasley and Adrian Claiborne to get after Russell Wilson and that terrible offensive line from the Seahawks. We saw Adrian Claiborne have 6 sacks last week against the Cowboys offensive line. Well, against the Seahawks offensive line, one of the worst in the league, he should have 7 sacks, 8 sacks, who knows, but I will take the Falcons for the upset. But one defensive end I want to see have a huge game this weekend is Khalil Mack, because the Raiders will be taking on the Patriots at Studio Azteca down in Mexico City. Let's hop right into the preview. Vamos, vamos.
La brisa de otoño es un raider que por diversión todo lo saqueó. Él te aplastará y con su sonrisa gritará que ya ganó y conquistó.
The
autumn wind is a Raider, and the autumn wind will be blowing into Mexico City to Studio Azteca as the Raiders will be taking a trip to Mexico once again to take on the New England Patriots. And surprise, surprise, somehow the Raiders get screwed out of the biggest game of the year against Tom Brady, the local Bay Area kid. Doesn't even get to come home to the Bay Area as the Raiders go back to Mexico once again and give up a home game to play on neutral sites. A lot of people might say, well, at least the Raiders will have an advantage playing there last year. They know what to expect, and they're also coming off of a bye. Well, the Patriots, on the other hand, spent the week in Denver getting acclimated to the high altitude of Mexico City, because we all know Mile High and the altitude up there. They got their bodies up for a week or two for the altitude, while the Raiders, on the flip side, won't be showing up to Mexico until Saturday morning. They'll spend one day. They think it's a better philosophy to get in or get out, because obviously they don't have the luxury of the Patriots spending the whole week before in Denver and getting acclimated to that altitude. But we'll see. Coming off the bye, we had 2 weeks to prepare, and we're still only one game out of the wild card spot. This is a game that the Raiders coaching staff have to put on their thinking caps and figure out a way to try to slow down Tom Brady. He's 40 years old, and he is still dominating defenses. As I mentioned to begin this podcast, he is the number one leading passer in the NFL in passing yards. This man has been truly unbelievable, and looks like he can keep playing year after year after year. But hey, this whole dynasty franchise should have never even happened for Tom Brady because of the goddamn tuck rule. As I've mentioned it 1,000 times, going back to my podcast last year, going back to my radio show up at Sonoma State, going back to the beginning of the time, Charles Woodson, as my witness, Tom Brady would be nothing if it wasn't for the tuck rule that changed the direction of the franchise forever and started off that whole dynasty era for the Patriots. And Charles Woodson to this day says, Tom Brady, you should thank me for your wife. You should thank me for your life. You should thank me for those Super Bowl rings, because that goddamn play back in the day when Charles Woodson sacked Tom Brady for a fumble in the playoffs, and Tom Brady to this day still admits that it's a fumble. Like, there's Lincoln Kennedy on 95.7 The Game says every time he sees Tom Brady, he says, that was a fumble. And Tom Brady says, oh, yep, I know, totally. The goddamn tuck rule that doesn't even exist anymore. God, I just get so upset every time I've been talking about it. But hey, it's got nothing to do with this game. The tuck rule is gone, and I want to see Carl Joseph come out of nowhere to sack Tom Brady to end the game. Do it one time for 2-4, switch it up 4-2, making the big play, because we got to make a turnover somehow. We got to win the turnover battle against the Patriots. They are just too good. Tom Brady, we know, doesn't throw too many interceptions, and the Raiders are the only team in NFL history to go this long into a season without an interception. So what a better way to do it against Tom Brady? Hey, a man can hope and a man can wish, because we got to do something. We got to pressure Tom Brady. We got to create a turnover. Hopefully Khalil Mack, as I mentioned, has a big day, gets to Tom Brady a couple times with a few sacks. Let me get a strip sack Mac, because we got to blitz Brady. We got to give him uncomfortable. We got to get to him as fast as possible, because we all know the story with our DBs this year. They have been beat by the deep ball left and right, so there's no way that we can give Tom Brady time to sit back in the pocket and allow someone like Brandon Cooks to get downfield. David Amerson's going to have to try to lock up Cooks. We've all seen so many deep balls to beat us, going back to the Ravens, going back to pretty much every game this year. There's at least one deep ball touchdown against the Raiders. We don't got too much help coming, because Gerrion Conley, our first round overall pick, was placed on the IR with his shin injury. He's done for the year, but someone's going to have to step up and someone's going to have to make a play, because against Brandon Cooks, and then you got someone like Robert Gronkowski who's going to be coming over the middle, plus they just got Martellus Bennett now. Man, they got the 1-2 punch back at tight end. Someone's going to have to try to slow down the tight ends. I've talked about Sean Smith all year since the preseason. If he can't cover one-on-one on the outside, hey, maybe you can match him up with the tight end. And one man I want to see play great this game is Obi Melifonwu, our second round pick, safety. This is why we drafted him, to match up with the likes of Travis Kelce, Antonio Gates, hell, Hunter Henry coming up. We have been getting beat by that tight end since the beginning of time. So against Robert Gronkowski, I want to see Obi Melifonwu one-on-one, and I want to see the matchups, because, hey, we got to try to take away Gronk, but there's so many ways that Tom Brady could beat you. We saw what they did last week against the Denver Broncos, where they used their running backs and mismatch against their linebackers.
Raiders. I think that's going to be a vulnerable spot for us because they all scored last week, and the Raiders linebackers have been getting beat out of the backfield all season long, but we have been better tackling on the check down. So if we got a chance to keep the wide receivers in front of us, the running backs in front of us, hopefully we can make some tackles. Hopefully we make some big plays. Like I said, Khalil Mack, I'm counting on you to get some revenge for Charles Woodson. You, Carl Joseph, get some revenge for the new era of Oakland Raider fans before they leave to Vegas. Do it for us one time. I wish this game was in the Bay Area, but it's not, and I can't complain because, hey, we won last year in Mexico. We'll see if we can win again. We talk about what the defense has to do, winning a turnover battle, and hopefully Khalil Mack has a huge day. Let's talk about the offense and what they have to do because we're going to have to try to beat Tom Brady. Yes, we have to try to outscore Tom Brady because even if the defense just holds the ground, gets a couple three and outs, forces field goals, gets a couple turnovers, Tom Brady is still going to easily put up 20, probably 30 points guaranteed against our defense. You know what that means? We got to put up 40 to win, and I think that's possible. I think if we don't establish the run game early, this is going to be a shootout, but hopefully if we get up early, maybe receive the ball, score first, and then run the clock out. Take a play out of the Dallas' playbook and just try to run out the clock and beat you with time of possession. If we keep Tom Brady off the field, he can't score. We can't turn the ball over. We got to develop that run game with Marshawn Lynch. This is why we bring you in. I don't care about a run cap lift, run him 20 times, run him 30 times, run the ball. We got to unleash beast mode, and the man's got to want to get some revenge for losing at the Patriots. You know he didn't get the carry at the goal line with the Seahawks. Well, if we're even anywhere close to the goal line, give the ball to Marshawn Lynch and let him run wild. If we can build a lead, keep on running the clock, running the clock. If not, the Raiders are going to have to passing all day, and we still should run the ball early so that we can establish the play action. Our best game of the year was against the Kansas City Chiefs, and that was a game that we ran the play action and went deep down the field, and guess what? It was Amari Cooper's best game of the year. I look for Amari Cooper to have another big game. It's going to be important for him and Michael Crabtree to separate and get space against two good corners in Stephon Gilmore and Malcolm Butler. We might have to try to attack the middle of the field with someone like Jared Cook. Derek Carr is going to have to make plays, but he's going to be creative. Get outside the pocket. I want to see Derek Carr turn it loose, and I want to see the Raiders put up over 40 points. I want to see this offensive line dominate the trenches. It's the oldest cliche in the books. If you win the trenches, you can win the game. I think that's possible with our offensive line. I think that's possible with Khalil Mack getting after Tom Brady. This is a defense for the Patriots that hasn't been the greatest all year. We saw in the beginning of the year they gave all those points. They have been playing better, but hey, the Chiefs beat them, we beat the Chiefs. The Panthers beat them, we beat the Panthers last time we played. I truly believe that the Raiders have a chance to beat the Patriots coming off a bye, 2 weeks to prepare. I think the Raiders plus 7 points get the job done in Mexico City. I got the Raiders winning 42-38 to improve the 5-5 in the year and be the game that turns around the whole entire season, gives us some momentum, puts us back in that wild card spot to be a playoff team. I think the momentum of all the Raider fans down in Mexico this game will be huge. We saw the support last year. You all know that Raider Nation is worldwide, so I expect the place to be packed in silver and black. Pull out your laser pointers, blind Tom Brady, do whatever you gotta do. Send out the cartel. I don't care. We gotta get this win. We gotta get this job done down in Mexico. Tom Brady, you're a dead gringo walking. Khalil Mack coming for that sack attack. Raiders 42-38, and that is every game, every preview from the up-and-coming Week 11 of the NFL here on the Bay's Golden Days during Straight Cash, homie. Let's go ahead and run it back for you one more time after that long Raider rant. On Thursday Night Football, I got the Steelers beating the Titans at home, minus 7 points. Moving on to Sunday, I got the Lions over the Bears, minus 3. The Packers and the Ravens, I will stick with the Ravens to win, minus 2 points. The Jaguars in the Browns, I will take the Jaguars on the road to beat the Browns, minus 7.5 points. The Cardinals and the Texans, I will take the Cardinals to win minus 1 point on the road. Rams and Vikings, I will take the Rams for the upset, plus 2 on the road against the Vikings. Redskins, Saints, I like the Saints at home, minus 7.5 points. Chiefs, Giants, I'll take the Chiefs as the biggest road dog of the year, minus 10.5 points. Buccaneers, Dolphins, I like the Buccaneers for the upset, plus 1 point. Bills, Chargers, I like the Bills for the upset, plus 4 points. Bengals, Broncos, I like the Bengals for the upset, plus 2.5 points.
Eagles, Cowboys. I'll take the Eagles on the road, -3.5. And Falcons, Seahawks, Monday Night Football. I'll take the Falcons for the upset, +3 points. And that is every single game from week 11 of the 2017 NFL season here on Straight Cash, homie, on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. I am Marcus Boucher. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading and subscribing on iTunes and Google Play. You can follow us on social media at Bay's Golden Days. Check out the website, bgdsports.com. And let's get another W down in Mexico for the Raider Nation to turn around the season, get us back to 5-5, set us up for a nice prime playoff run, and let's go get that W down in Mexico. Win, lose, or die, baby. Raider Nation, till I die.
Hold it.
Steady gold, pony boy.